corporate homie. And we're talking all things references.
Reference should be kind of like, to me, a marriage proposal.
This is silly. I'm not the one that needs the reference.
Would somebody really write a negative letter?
On today's episode of Corporate Homie,
give me the reference and how to be a good referencer.
If you're not going to win, get out the way so that other people can win.
This is way more involved than I thought it was. I have concerns about doing a recommendation.
Do you know how to do that?
Hey, homies.
What's up, homie?
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast.
Welcome back.
And so on this week's episode, we're excited. We're still in the middle of our reference series. So we've done episode 40, which was, Will You Be My Reference? And then we did episode 92, which is, They've Agreed to Be Your Reference, and What Are the Next Steps for That? And then this episode is, You Are Giving the Reference and How to Be a Good Referencer. So you're the referencer, not the referencee.
Should I give the whoop since you didn't give it this week? Should I be like, whoop, whoop? I said a whoop, it's, whoop. Doesn't,
no, it doesn't no. sound the same. It doesn't. It's more like a whoop, whoop. I said a whoop, whoop. you see the difference?
No.
You see the difference?
That's what I said. Okay. Whoop, whoop.
I think the homies see the difference. But anyway, so part three of the reference.
Yes, series. Go ahead. You were the referencer, not the referencee. Let's get it.
Right. So meet the deadline of the time period, the time frame that the person who's asking you for the reference has given you. Nothing is more stressful than somebody waiting around for the person who said that they would do their reference and they have not met the deadline. Like, that is very stressful for the person who's applying to whatever it is. So be timely. Meet the deadline that they've given you.
That's so interesting because my first tip, which I think was my first tip on the other one, was review the material so that you understand the ask. Because as the person given the reference, sometimes you're like, yes, I'll agree to the reference. I mean, I agree to be your reference. I even know the deadline, but I don't understand how, like, encompassing the reference is. Maybe the reference is only going to take me a minute because it's just filling out a form. Maybe I have to write a full letter. Maybe I have to write a full letter and attach some something. I need to go ahead and if I say I'm going to agree to do it, I need to go ahead and review all the material so I understand fully and completely the ask and get some idea of how long it's going to take me to put it together so that I can meet the deadline that you're talking about. That's my first tip.
That's a great point to kind of immediately go through the materials so that you don't think, oh, I can knock a letter out in 20 minutes and then wait, this is way more involved than I thought it was. This is going to take me 3 hours.
And I waited to the last minute.
It's a minute. Yeah. Great point. I love that. Yeah.
No, that was my point.
So my next point is provide detailed and specific examples, feedback in your letter. There is nothing worse than a letter of recommendation that says nothing, that is so vague and so impersonal that it's not going to add anything to the person's packet. So I think you need to be specific. If somebody worked for you, talk about the various projects and tasks and what they did that was exceptional on that. Not, you know, Bimitri used to work for me. She has a great attitude. You know, like that's not advancing the ball. That's not enhancing that person's packet.
Exactly. So remember that this person is asking you to write the letter because they're trying to beat out other people. And you're trying to provide,
it's a
competition. They're trying to win. And so you're trying to give them some data that's going to help them win. And if you don't feel like you can write a letter or provide the reference or fill out the form or whatever it is, provide the reference in such a way that it's going to be like, if this is what I think when I write my reference, when I do give my reference, If this was the only thing that they were considering, you get it.
That's what I think
when I write it. When they get through reading my letter about you or my evaluation of you or whatever, you should win. If you don't win, it's going to be because of other things you did in your materials.
My letter is not going to keep you from winning.
My letter's a winner. And if you don't feel this,
you're like playing spades. That's like, right. I made my books.
That's right. And so to me, as the person given the reference, if you don't feel that way, you should get out the way so they can get a letter from somebody who's going to help them win. Winners going to win. They help. And if you're not going to win, get out the way so the other people can win. Let them get a letter from someone else. My thing is to make sure you know them well enough to write that kind of letter. So, and if you don't, that's okay. So if you're like, I really like her, but now that I've sat down to write the letter, I don't know as much about her as I would like to know, then maybe that's when you ask for some personal materials. Maybe you ask them for a resume or a website bio, or you say, can I sit down and have, I need 20 minutes with you. I need a cup of coffee with you. I've got some questions now. I want to flesh some things out. Or I saw you did this volunteer work, but I don't really understand what it is. So you want to make sure that you have enough information that you can get out there and just make them shine.
Unless they are a corporate homie listener, and they've already given you that all that
that's right.
information. They've already asked you for that cup of coffee. This is going to sound silly, but be factual and honest in your letters. Like, don't embellish on someone's behalf. Don't exaggerate, because that actually does not help them. And I have seen situations where I've been on selection committees for things, and you read things and you think, that's not exactly true. That person didn't really do that. That's not how it really works. So
you're saying
you're not helping.
In the room where somebody exaggerated.
So I'll give just a perfect example. I was on selection committee for an organization, and essentially the woman's boyfriend wrote her letter, but he wrote it as if he was like a business owner in a community advocating for her. But it was like, it was his girlfriend.
So you're leaving out pertinent information, dog.
You know, people are like, oh, this letter is great, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, they don't really know each other from a professional standpoint, per se.
They go together.
They go together. And even though it was in, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I mean. Like, be honest, be factual. Don't do things like that. Because then that's not helping your packet. It's actually hurting your packet.
That is a really good point. You know, that, and to remember that, you know, people know each other. Another thing I say is always concentrate on the relevant points. So, which I guess goes right in line with what you're saying. If, you know, this is why I said it's also important to understand the sort of the ask and the criteria and the materials. And like you said, hopefully if it's a good homie, they've already laid out for you like what they're looking for. So if they're focused on community service, you don't write a whole reference focused on leadership. And if they're focused on leadership, you don't write a whole reference about their community service. You need to really understand what the relevant points are so that you can drive your letter towards the thing that the committee is going to be evaluating. And a lot of times you're being asked for a reference because you have some knowledge in the field or with this organization. And so use that knowledge to put together and concentrate on the relevant points.
Right. I love that. Like you said, actually tie in what the criteria is to the letter that you're writing. I had someone write a letter for me one time that I had not seen this before, but I really liked it, and I started incorporating it in my own personal style. I'm just piggybacking what you were saying, Dee, just kind of giving a little anecdote. But they talked about my sense of humor, right? And they made the letter very personal. And even though we know each other professionally from boards that we've sat on, and I thought, well, that's a really nice touch. So I love that, not only tying it in, but make it as personal as you can. Because that's always going to go further. This sounds basic, my next point, but avoid highlighting weaknesses. Like, I don't write a letter that says things like, when Bimitra first came to work for me, she didn't know how to do such and such and such and such. But over the years, she's gotten so much better at blah, 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 blah. Don't highlight weaknesses. Like you said, it's a competition. You're trying to help this person win. Don't highlight their weaknesses.
Right. And I think sometimes people think that they're sharing a positive by starting with the negative. But I agree with you. You should just avoid all anything negative in the letter, in the application. Just stay away from, I guess what you're saying is pay attention to your tone. Make sure that it stays on a complete 100% enthusiastic. I could not be more delighted. You don't want your tone to be lukewarm. I am delighted, ecstatic, you know, Red Bull excited about, you know, recommending, you know, this person for a reference. My next tip is make sure you're, I guess this goes to what you were saying, make sure you're truthful about, especially again with the criteria. So, for example, if you don't know something to be true, like if they're trying to apply,
don't make it up.
Right. Or don't try to stretch it for them. So if they're saying that they've been coding since, you know, the last 20 years, and you're literally like, I thought you took a coding class 2 years ago. And they're like, yeah, but you know, I was coding before that. And you're like, well, no.
That's why I said be factual. Be honest.
Right. Like, I want that, but, you know, it to me, you should be able to complete this sentence when you're writing it. Is this job fits Tim because of fill in the blank? And so, or this scholarship, or this, you know, organization, or this whatever fits them. And if you can't answer that question, then you probably should not, you know, decide to be their reference.
Absolutely. This is just one of my own personal rules, and I know some organizations actually have this rule, but what I want to say is, I'm trying to figure out the most effective way to say this. Essentially, selective in who you refer and how many times you refer. And what I mean by that is, I have been on selection committee where one guy literally wrote 4 different people's letters.
Oh, and then it sort of takes away from his.
So all of a sudden it took.
He'll recommend anybody.
Right. So I was just like, so the first time I was like, oh, wow, they have a relationship with John. You know, that's awesome.
And Tim and Laura and Tracy.
So I was just like, he'll just write a letter for anybody.
Right.
Right. So
it hurts the candidate.
It hurts the candidate if you're recommending 4 people in the same class.
Right.
You know, or in the same, for the same year. So I'd say be selective with who you choose to recommend.
I love that.
Say, oh no, I've already agreed to recommend somebody for this class. I wish you had asked me earlier because, you know, I think the world of you. But no, don't.
And you might even could even put that in your letter. You know, in 22 years and being in the organization, this is my first time recommending someone for our illustrious sisterhood. Like, you can
say that's my story. Like, that's my testimony.
I'm not out here just willy nilly recommending people for Delta Sigma Theta. I'm selective about who I recommend. I mean, that's a great, I love that. My thing was going to be make yourself available. So if you agree to be someone's reference and you write the letter, then make sure that you're going to be able to take the phone call and you have the 15 minutes to answer the questions for the candidate when it's time for them to come and check their references. So you've written the letter. Now the committee, the organization, the job or whatever, they want to come back and say, look, we're looking at hiring Bimitra. You wrote this great letter of reference. We want to talk to you about the letter. But they're literally telling the candidate.
They can't get you.
They can't get you on the phone. They're saying, well, we've reached out to your reference. Do you? And there's nothing worse than having to go back to the candidate and say, do you have another reference? Because your reference is unresponsive. So if you agree to be someone's reference, then maybe you need to answer phone calls from numbers you don't know, respond to emails, get back, check your emails, check your spam folder, because you've agreed to be someone's reference. Be available.
I love that. Be available. And sometimes that means that you need to really look at your calendar and see, you know, am I doing a bunch of traveling? Do I have the capacity to do this? Which has nothing necessarily to do with how you feel about the person that's asking you. But should I really be saying yes to this at this time based on the workload that I have and what I have on my calendar? Is that going to be fair to that person? So I think that is a fantastic point. The last thing about being a good reference is if somebody asks you to give a reference and you don't actually think they would be a good fit for the organization, or you actually don't think that that's a good job for them, then you need to discuss what your concerns are. I actually had this happen to me within the last year where somebody wanted me to recommend them for a job, and I thought that they would be a great fit for the organization. I just didn't think they'd be a great fit for the role. And what I said was, hey, do you understand that this role is asking for this, 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 and this, and these skill sets? Is that your sweet spot? To me, that question,
do you know how to do that?
Was letting you know I have concerns about doing a recommendation. And it shows you that I wasn't wrong. That person completely missed it and was like, hey, I'm moving forward in the interview process and they asked me to put together XYZ, and I know that you had to do that when you came over to the organization. Can you share yours with me? No,
because you need to know how to put together your own thing. Because you don't, I'm not sure, sir,
no,
I'm not sure this job is for you.
We got a bad connection.
Right. No, I cannot.
So if it's no, you need to discuss what your concerns are.
or say no, and we'll have, that'll be the next episode. We'll talk about, you know, how to gracefully address with someone when you're not able to be the reference. As always, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. If you have a topic that you want covered, you know, this whole reference series came from the homies, feel free to reach out at questions@corporatehomie.com or hit us on any of our social. We have the same handle on all social, which is @corporatehomie.
And if you would like for us to come and speak, feel free to send us an email at info@corporatehomie.com. And as always, thank you for listening. And until next time,
hustle hard, homies. All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.